What I want to do is look at Acts chapter 16. I hope you had a chance to read it this week. And I came up with five sermons out of Acts 16. So what I believe in my heart is that throughout the book of Acts, Jesus simply continued to do what he did while he walked on earth through those who followed him in the power of the Spirit after he ascended to heaven. Jesus never stopped working. Jesus never stops working. And his primary work that we read throughout the Old Testament, throughout the gospel accounts of Jesus' life and the ministry of the apostles and evangelists, is the power that he brings to the lives of people to completely liberate them into the joy of the Lord. And so we're going to meet three people today. I think we're going to get to all three people today. We're going to meet Lydia. We're going to meet a little girl who is severely demon-possessed, and a jailer who thinks he's in total control until God shakes his world. So let's take a moment. I know we have been praying, but I would pray that our hearts would be open to what the Holy Spirit would speak to us in these moments that we have together in his word. And we really want to continue what God began as we worship together, and that's to call people to experience his power, his liberating power, his healing, his eye-opening self-revelation. The world makes a mountain of religion, but that's not what we're about. We are not about it in any way. And God meant for his church, us, to live our life listening to the Spirit of God, loving him, going through our life experiencing healing, purpose, meaning, joy. Joy, are you hearing me? Joy, are you hearing me? Joy that is uncontainable. And there are signs all around that the enemy has captivated this nation under a deep demonic oppression. It is a profound darkness that rests upon this land, and I want to talk about that today. And I'm going to invite you to become an intercessor for this nation. That God would, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the light of the glory of the risen Jesus, shatter the chains of darkness that are holding people in despair and drug addiction and substance abuse and marriage failure and pornography and anxiety and fear. And if you think demonic influence and possession ended in the New Testament, you need to think again. You need to understand, I need to understand constantly that we live in a spiritual world. So, let's pray. Ask the Spirit of God to speak to us what he wants to say to you and me this morning. So Lord, come and have your way with us. Let the word of God come right to the heart, spoken by the Spirit, liberating, empowering, anointing, setting free, healing, and anointing with the oil of joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul is moving, he wants to move north and he wants to move east, and the Spirit of God in Acts chapter 16 keeps pushing him west. And so we're talking about the area of Turkey today. And he wants to go into Turkey, he wants to go into eastern Turkey, and he wants to go northwards towards where Istanbul is today. And he keeps moving, and God keeps putting a roadblock in his life. And he says, you can't go there. Now, you understand what he's trying to do, right? He wants to bring the gospel everywhere he goes. He wants to take the message of Jesus, and the world is open to him. And to Luke, who is with him, and to Timothy, and Silas. But every time they make a move into a direction, the Spirit of God stops them and says, you need to go this way. And so they keep moving, but the Spirit keeps turning. And Luke records in Acts chapter 16 that where we wanted to go, the Spirit of God did not permit us to go. Where we wanted to preach, the Spirit of God did not permit us to preach. Why? Well, the agenda of the gospel, what we would call mission, is not in the hands of human beings. It is under the lordship of the Spirit of God. And we meet three people who are in the heart of God that need to hear what Paul has to say. And so they move towards south, what is southwestern Turkey. They get on a ship at Troas, and they go across the Aegean Sea, which is to the east of Greece, south of what's now Bulgaria and Kosovo, and they come to Philippi. Philippi has a long history, and I was going to talk about it, but we don't have time, so I won't. And so they're there for a few days before the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath, they go to where they expect people are gathered to pray. Now, there's obviously no synagogue in Philippi. What that means is that there were not at least 10 Jewish men. And in the crazy construction of Judaism, you could have 500 godly women, but you couldn't have a synagogue. Because you needed 10 Jewish men. They didn't have 10. And so they go to a riverside where there is a place of prayer, and at that place of prayer, they meet a praying woman, and her name is Lydia. And it says that she is a woman in prayer, because she is at the place of prayer, and she is a worshiper of God. She's a very successful businesswoman. Her life is blessed. She worships God, she lives a life of prayer, but you know what? She's not saved. She is practicing religion. It's not enough. And Paul begins to talk about Jesus, and he begins to talk about the cross and the resurrection, because these were the themes of all of his preaching. And the power of the Holy Spirit. And then I think it's in Acts 16, 14, the Bible tells us something very remarkable. And that is that the Lord opened her heart. And it is in that moment when the Spirit of God turns the light on in someone's heart, that they are saved, that they move from religion into this living life in the Holy Spirit as followers of Jesus. And you can have the most sophisticated church and the most sophisticated and elegant practice of religion and have a form of it, and you have masses of it, but until a heart is opened by the living God, there is no salvation. There is no living faith. And it doesn't matter how sophisticated your preaching is or how clever your arguments are, because until God decides in his sovereignty to turn the light on in a heart, that person remains in darkness. And there are many people who have practiced religion their whole life and will come to the end of it and will never have met Jesus through the eye-opening work of the Spirit of God within them. Salvation is a supernatural reality. It is a gift of God that God gives. We sing, we worship, we pray, we preach, none of us saves. Until Jesus just puts his finger on somebody's heart and opens their eyes to see and to understand. And so Lydia turns with her heart to the Lord, and she responds, and Paul has obviously talked about baptism, and she's excited and wants to demonstrate her faith in Jesus by being obedient through baptism. She was obedient through baptism. Have you been obedient through baptism? Have you followed? It is an important spiritual reality that you follow Jesus in baptism, in a public confession, going down under the water, dying to your old life, and being raised up and walking in newness of life. And her whole life was changed, and she hosts the four evangelists in her home while they're in ministry. And her whole household is changed. Jesus has totally transformed her life. And there's an immediate response in her, immediate recognition that everything about me has changed. And so a day or two later, they're again going back to the place of prayer. And on the way to prayer, they meet a girl. And we don't know her name. And what your Bible text may not tell you, in Acts chapter 16, verse 16, is that she is inhabited by a pythonic spirit. She is a pythoness. She has a demonic spirit of an evil spirit in her. She speaks, but it's not her voice. And the same description we use of ventriloquists. She is a puppet in the hand of the enemy. She is in slavery to men who are making money off of this evil spirit that has possessed her. And she is captivated by the enemy, by a spirit of darkness in her life, a little girl. And don't tell me that God doesn't care about kids. And God doesn't care about people who are laboring under spiritual darkness and doesn't manifest his power, show his power by liberating people who are not in control of their life, who are prisoners of darkness. Because he stopped Paul from preaching to so many people in the east and in the north because there was a little girl who needed to experience the freedom that only Jesus could give her. And she's following the four of them around, and she's like, she's advertising, but she's bad advertising. And she says, listen to these men, they're proclaiming to you the way of salvation. And let me tell you something. There are lots of times the enemy speaks what's real, but it is total darkness. And Paul, the scriptures say, Paul is greatly annoyed. The Eric translation says he is ticked off and was done. And he simply turns around and in the name of Jesus rebukes that spirit, and the girl is set free completely. Now I'm going to come back and talk about this because our nation is in the depths, under the depths of a deep spiritual darkness. And you and I are not going to break that. But God, through a praying people who are anointed by the Spirit of God and who recognize darkness when they can see it, can simply, easily, confidently, joyfully bring the name of Jesus to people who are laboring, weary, burdened down, crushed by spiritual darkness. So they took away their livelihood because they were making money off this girl, and the Romans are, Philippi was a Roman colony. It was named after Philip II, who was the father of Alexander the Great. And so it was under Roman law, under Roman governance, and what the New Testament tells us repeatedly is that as the gospel came in, it upset everything, socially, religiously, and politically. Jesus Christ just tends to upset everything. And they just delivered this girl, but they robbed them of their livelihood. And so they bring charges against them because they're a proclaimer of this strange deity and it's antagonistic to Roman paganism. And they beat them with rods and they commit them to the jailer. And the jailer's probably a retired Roman soldier, perhaps a mercenary. I'm guessing, theological imagination, he's about 6'4", 275 pounds. Probably has the tattoo of the Roman legionnaires, can bench press a Buick, has the Roman government behind him, the civil magistrates behind him, prison doors, chains, yokes, and a dungeon. This guy's in control. But see, Luke in Acts wants to go out of his way to specifically tell us that just at the very moment when we think that everything is in our control, God shakes the world. And he moves from being a tormentor and prison guard to being a man who has withdrawn his sword and is ready to fall on it. And again, the image is of a world that is deceived by the illusion of control. But in a moment, it's gone when God begins to shake. And so there are Paul and Silas, a yoke, their feet spread apart very uncomfortably, I might add, by a wooden yoke, chained to the wall, prison door shut, and the jailer, Attila the Hun and Hulk Hogan all wrapped into one, waiting outside the prison. And at midnight, what are they doing? They are singing praises and worship to God, who sets free the captive like Lydia and the little girl who is demon-possessed, and their hearts are filled with joy in the midst of the dungeon. And the prisoners are listening to them, and I know the jailer's listening. And all of a sudden, there is an earthquake, and the doors open, and the chains fall off, and the yokes fall from their feet. And when the jailer comes to or awakes, he sees the doors open. And while he was healthily compensated for looking after them, if any one of those prisoners escaped, his life was forfeit. And so as a good Roman soldier, he took the honorable way out. And that is to take his sword, put it in front of him, and fall on it or thrust it through himself. Immense courage. And just as he's about to do that, Paul cries out from the midst of the dungeon, "Don't do that, we're all here." I don't know what kind of prisoners were in there, but I'm thinking as soon as those doors were open, there was a lot of thoughts going through some minds. And why they didn't bolt, I don't know. I don't know naturally, but I do know that God loved this man who had no reason to be loved and probably had taken many lives. And you don't get to be a jailer and a reliable jailer by offering the gift of compassion to your prisoners. But you operate on the level of fear and punishment. Yet he found himself the object of the love of God that night. And he cries out because he heard the worship, because he heard the singing, because God was speaking to his heart. He cries out, "What do I need to do to be saved?" And Paul says, "You need to just trust Jesus and follow him." And that very hour, the jailer takes him, washes the wounds. They were bleeding from being beaten, maybe bleeding from the stocks. And he washed them. And then it says he brought them into his own house and he fed them. And he believed and his whole household believed and they followed Jesus. You know, the Bible is full of God telling you exactly what he's like. You never have to doubt what God is like. The enemy will tell you that God is a tyrant. Or else he will convince you that he's a big teddy bear who does not need to be feared. Religion will tell you that God is an implacable being. That you can try and try and you need to try and you need to drive yourself. You need to work and you need to strive and you need to discipline yourself. And you need to be better and you need to be better and you need to be better. And many of you know that voice that I'm mimicking now. That is not the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. That is the voice of religion. That is the voice of the enemy who will drive you to desperation and blind you and harden your heart to the joy of what it is to walk with Jesus. And to know that if Jesus told Peter, when Peter asked, he's talking about Andrew, his brother, he says, "How many times if my brother sins against me, do I need to forgive him?" And he goes, "Like, even seven times?" And Jesus says, "Peter, you just keep counting. If he sins against you 70 times seven times, you just forgive, because that's who God is to you." And if you're here and you've been listening to a voice that tells you at some point you're going to cross a line and it's going to be too late to come back, I'm telling you that that's a lie. Because God will accept the heart that comes to him in true repentance, in true confession, and who waits patiently, because some of the battles against sin in our life take days, some are gone immediately, and some we fight with for decades in our life. But the scriptures tell me abundantly that he has released us from all our sins. Not the ones that I committed before, not perhaps the ones we have committed this morning, but all the sins of my life were taken upon Jesus on the cross. And he took them from me. and spiritual liberty, physical liberty, healing, deliverance, redemption, change circumstances, all of those salvations come because of what Jesus did on the cross. By his stripes, Isaiah writes, we are healed. And this jailer's life was transformed. I think after this, Philippian prisoners would have loved to be incarcerated with him, because he's probably doing prison ministry. So as we come to a time of prayer, I want to go back to the spiritual darkness, the demonic oppression that was over this little girl. And first of all, remind you that it is broken in a second through the name of Jesus. And you and I, as followers of Christ, need not fear the devil himself. We need fear no demon from hell. We need fear no darkness. We have been set free. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And it is that light that we bring to those around us. That there is spiritual darkness over this land is so manifestly evident if you have eyes to see it. And first of all, I do want to invite you for prayer specifically for something today, because people sometimes in the past, in their life, have come into moments of darkness to which they were oblivious, but which made a lasting impression upon them. Maybe it was a party that somebody went to. Maybe it was a movie that somebody saw. Maybe it was into a home where evil dwelt. And those things are very real, and they happen. They happen in our culture all the time. You can go preach in Africa, and you see people who, under the preaching of the word, manifest that they are demon-possessed. And I've been there, and they scream, and they yell, and it's violent. And it's wickedness. And I remember preaching once, and it was the worst sermon of my life, actually. I thought it was. I was struggling with the translator. I'll tell you the story sometime. But it was like the whole way through I'm preaching, I'm going, God, get me out of here. I went through 3 translators, couldn't understand me. And God, what am I doing here? What are the, you know? Yeah, it's not them, it's me. Thank you, Herman. And finally, I just bring it really simple about following Jesus, and 85 people immediately responded. And then I knew that salvation had nothing to do with me. Nothing. And along the back wall, this woman rises up, and she is out of her mind, screaming and yelling and violent. And I'm looking at Pastor Malungo beside me, who he was killed in a car crash about 5 years later. And he's smiling and looking at me and going, oh, she's just possessed. Just give her a minute. So they took her to the back, and all of a sudden the screaming stops and she comes out. And she's set free. But in our culture, don't imagine that demonic possession and oppression is so real and prevalent in the world around us. Do not be deceived. Do not be lulled into spiritual complacency. And the thing that you and I need most is to walk closely with Jesus, to have spiritual sensitivity, and to be anointed by the Spirit of God to bring light into a world that is so filled with darkness. And I know that darkness sometimes creeps into the home of Christians. And it manifests itself in what I would call a very laborious relationship with this word. And it collects more dust on their shelf than affection in their heart. And people struggle with it and they can't read it and it's just like tedious and it just wears on them and they get frustrated and they go through the habit of it, but it's not the living reality. That's spiritual darkness. And it can come towards us as we become complacent in it. And we can allow it a foothold. There's an immense amount of demonic oppression and possession through the use of drugs and drug addiction. It is a fundamental tool of the enemy in our culture. There is spiritual darkness that comes into the home through the use of pornography. And it captures the heart and it plants darkness in the heart. There's an immense amount of spiritual darkness in the materialism of our culture because we're deceived into thinking that we live in this partly spiritual, partly material world, and we have tried and have a hand in both. But Jesus says you cannot serve two masters. One is a master or the other is a master. And so he said, just let go. Just let go. And I would this morning just, I think I'd call you to respond. I'd ask you this morning whether you sense spiritual darkness in your life. And we want to pray. We want to watch Jesus touch your life and set you free. And I'm not talking about the sins that we battle with in the normal struggles of the Christian life, because we've all got them. But I'm talking about a spiritual stronghold. And I don't know where it came in, but the Holy Spirit can speak to you today, right now, and tell you and bring to your memory. And it doesn't need to be grand, and it doesn't need to be explosive. It just needs to be a prayer, coming to Jesus and asking Him to set you free. And so we're going to pray and invite you to prayer, and Herman's going to invite you to respond to people who love you and who know that Jesus will touch your life. So the musicians can come. We want to just continue in the spirit of worship and believing Jesus to set people free. If you're here this morning and you've been trying what you now understand to be religion, you understand to be you trying to please God, you trying to measure up, and you've been going through the motions, but your heart doesn't know the joy of what it is to walk with Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you just struggle with guilt. I'm just here to tell you that Jesus will set you free today. He'll set you free. He'll take your life and He'll fill you with joy and He'll fill you with meaning and with purpose. So I'm asking you today just to walk away from religion. Walk away from a past that was about you trying to placate God, trying to please God. And come and experience His love for you. And I can't just tell you to do that. You need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in your heart. You need to hear that. But when you hear that and you feel that draw and you just want Jesus and you just want to know Jesus, you want to walk with Jesus, you want to be forgiven, you want your life, the trajectory of your life to take a new direction, then you come, you respond, and you tell people, tell the prayer team, we have a prayer team who's prayed for you, what you need prayer for, and they'll pray for you. And maybe one of them will have a word for your life. God will speak to them about your life, and you need to hear that today. But I'd also leave you with a response that you need to do on your own, morning, night, throughout your day, and that is begin to intercede for a nation that is locked under the stronghold of spiritual darkness. It's not just about doing church. It's not just about being good people or feeding or Christmas hampers, as amazing as that is to bless people, but it is about God anointing people. It is about the Spirit of God who shines a light into the darkness that is over this nation and will begin to awaken people to the lordship and the glory of Christ and the power of the cross. That's a spiritual breakthrough. So, Lord, as we pray, as we just take time to worship you together, Holy Spirit, I pray you just tug at people's hearts to come and to find freedom, find deliverance, find forgiveness. I pray, Lord, that the miracles that you want to do in the lives of people, you just do that as we pray. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're liberating. Thank you that you save. And so we worship you. Jesus, come and have your way and speak in this room in Jesus' name.